You want to be ready for rain, but you don't want screechy wipers. You want the only screeching in your car to be coming from you.
Whoa, whoa, baby, baby.
You want Halfords. We fit wiper blades while you wait from just £3. Let us find it, fix it or fit it at over 750 stores and garages nationwide. Because if you want to keep moving this winter, you want Halfords. Fitting cost only.
Hello, gorgeous.
I would make a great queen because I am so stubborn.
Well, when I'm good, I'm very good. But when I'm bad, I'm better.
Never take a learning opportunity away from another student. No matter how smart you meet everyone to think you are.
I am dancing a bright beam of light. I am remembering love.
Love should have brought your ass home last night.
This team is your family. You have to protect them from those guys, okay?
Make the money. Don't let it make you.
You had me at hello.
And most importantly, you must always have faith in yourself.
This is I'm Here for the Food.
This is I'm Here for the Food, where we discuss topics that feed your mind, your spirit, and your soul. I'm Melissa.
I'm Blue.
And we have a very special third chair today.
Yay!
I just love her so much. So I just, you have to pan to her, Peter. It's my girlfriend, Sky Marshall.
Hello!
And I also just have to say that, you know, this is hysterical. I have Blue Sky.
And I drove a sky blue Ford here today.
It's so going to be a special spinoff of I'm Here for the Food.
Yeah.
The sky blue edition.
Yeah. I didn't even notice it until you walked in the room. And
you
I was
like, blue.
And I was about to introduce you. I was like, oh, wait, wait, hold on one second. Sky meet blue, blue meets sky.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. You know what?
You really enjoy that moment, so I'm just going to let you have it.
You got to let it happen.
No, I had a whole web series back in the, when I was young. Please do not Google it because it's been ripped off the internet called Sky's the Limit. And I literally... My alter ego, her name was Sky. So
that was supposed to be my corporation name, and I was so excited. Like, finally, I get to be a corporation. And I went on there, and it was all taken. And I was like, I waited 20 years
very taken.
To get Sky's
I
want to
name my daughter Sky. So, like, if I have a kid, and you know, she's gonna have your whole name.
It's a great conversation starter. So, yeah, you should do that.
Yeah, it totally is.
Immediately, you're confident because people are like, oh my God, you have a really pretty name. And it's like, you just keep getting compliments from a kid growing up because of your name. And that just really does create confidence.
As opposed to
because somebody's giving you a compliment fresh out the gate.
That's true.
You know? So set your kid up that way. Give him like a good name. That
is that your pitch
like,
for me to name my kid Sky?
Absolutely.
That was impeccable.
Absolutely.
Like, you know that
did
ready.
You like it? Okay,
this
cool.
It's going to be a good
Soul.
Episode. It's going to be a good episode.
So I want to thank you guys who have already subscribed. And if you have not subscribed and you just happened upon the show, please hit the subscribe button. We are on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, and iHeart. That is
are.
Who pays the bills around here. So we just recently had a Galentine's Day episode.
Nice.
That I would have loved for you to have been a part of.
It was very pink.
Yeah, it was very pink and very girly. We had a sponsor from the Good Good LA, which is a bake shop that has, oh God, their food is like.
How were those cupcakes?
Crack.
Because I'm like on a healthy journey right now.
Okay. Yeah.
So as I left, I literally saw Rosa Acosta shoving a vegan cupcake in her mouth and I was like, like I wanted one so bad, but yeah.
That's like my version of porn, actually, to watch.
With
Rosa
it could have taken that nice. Turn. Rosa, you were right about
Unless
Rosa's energy.
I told you.
Yeah.
She has very
masculine energy.
Big dick energy. No, it's more than masculine. It's like a
It's a baby arm.
A baby yeah.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm gonna do this thing together.
I missed that.
Yeah.
No, she would have made you feel like a woman.
Yeah.
Rosa Acosta is very, she's very affirming.
Yeah.
Yes. Even if you're straight, doesn't matter. In that moment, that is your man.
Mm-hmm.
Rosa is kind of amazing.
Yeah. So I do have to give a shout out to my girlfriends that came by for the Galentine's Day episode. Rosa Acosta, Parker McKenna, and Roxy Diaz. The show was very well received.
I loved them.
Yeah.
And they showed that women can be friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I have to admit that I was a little trepidatious. You know, I thought that because it was a room full of really pretty girls.
I get excited about that. What's wrong with me? I was like, yeah.
I know.
Me
too.
I'm like, let's finally, go. I have a seat at the table.
Yeah.
Let's play Mean Girls.
Exactly.
And wait, no.
Let's play.
You weren't expecting that.
Who am I going to be?
So I just was a little trepidatious because I just didn't know how it was going to be received, because sometimes when, you know, attractive women are also very verbose.
Yes.
You know, they are oftentimes, you know, shunned or just dismissed.
I welcome it. We want all the smoke on this show.
Yeah.
I welcome it.
And not necessarily, not by anybody in the room,
but
you know, just by people listening. But thanks to all of our, you know, listeners and viewers, you guys loved them. And I love that because you loved my friends.
Yeah.
That was really super awesome. So, Sky and I have been friends for maybe about a year now.
For her.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes. But
by the way, why are there always two versions when you introduce me to people?
For me, you've been my friend in my head since 2003.
Oh,
when Melissa Ford was on my wall.
Really?
Yeah.
I never knew this.
I think you were on my wall too, to be honest.
Melissa Ford was on my wall.
I actually think you were. Oh my
yeah,
God.
It was one of the Jessica Rabbit photos, and it was supposed to get me to the gym.
Look at
the gym.
With the same lived experience.
Right?
Oh my God.
I was like, yes, Melissa, I'm going to the gym. That didn't work out well. But yeah, we've been friends for about a year now.
That's a healthy answer. Where did you meet her in real life?
That's a healthy answer.
Right.
She was a guest on Hollywood Unlocked.
Right.
Yeah.
And you guys clicked?
Immediately. Yeah. Oh, there's my phone.
I thought that was Daisy flinging her body across.
No, I kicked Daisy out of the room. She's off limits.
We love Daisy.
No, I love her too, but she's just needy and I can't deal right now. But anyway, so
Love month, why not?
Yeah, no. So Sky came in to do an episode, actually a couple of episodes of Hollywood Unlocked. It was more than one. Just me, you, and Damage?
No, I think it was just that one. Yeah, I think we were supposed to do two, but I had to bail. I had to leave town.
Oh. Well, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed her so much. I enjoyed her company. We just, you know, it was a very good synergy. We just thought the same way, and I was like,
"When's your birthday, Sky? We do astrology here on the show."
Oh, I'm a Libra.
Oh, you're lovely.
I'm a Libra rising. I can't get more Libra.
Oh, so you're lovely but indecisive.
But when I do decide, it is laser beam focused.
But by then we're all
asleep. But the journey there can be a little exhausting.
Then, yeah.
Everyone's over it by then.
I know a lot of Libras.
Right.
Amazing people, horrible at making quick decisions.
Yeah, no.
I've broken past that.
You guys decide really well when you
Yeah, no, it is true. There. You have to definitely choose to break that. And I did. I worked very hard on breaking that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The women are not nearly as bad as the men, trust me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I've
that is very true as well.
I've been dating a Libra on and off for like the last 3 years, and I swear I want to slap the shit out of him a lot of the time.
Yeah. Why is Libra always the kings of on and off?
They love the concept.
That's
of
a man
love.
Thing, because again,
they love the idea of love.
Yeah, they love being.
But
the
an actual
of it.
Human staring back at them, asking for answers. Yeah. I'm gonna call you right
you
back.
You know what though? I feel like that's across the chart.
No, it is.
All signs, when it comes to specifically with a man and their deserving feelings. Like, I don't give a shit who's on your vision board.
Right.
If your deserving feelings don't match that experience, you might manifest it, but you will self-sabotage it.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's no different than professional basketball players that 5 years after retirement go broke. Mm. Or you win the lottery and within 5 years you go broke. Because mentally, you don't actually feel like you deserved or earned that money.
So you will subconsciously
self-sabotage it so that because you feel safer without, you feel somehow safer broke. Mm-hmm. And some men somehow feel safer alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because having
Most
someone be there and actually
they have
see
dogs.
Them, to actually have to be seen by a woman
right,
fully, that's pretty scary.
Yeah.
You know?
But is that male though?
Based on where they are in their life and in their world. And sadly, what breaks my heart is when men like connect their value to their income. And that breaks my heart, where they feel like, well, once I make this or once I get this, then I'll. And it's just like, no, just be great. Just be you now.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so you would date a broke man with a high self-esteem? Is that what you're saying?
I would date a broke man if he was very goal-oriented, had ambition, and had a plan.
So you're saying you date a broke man who's temporarily broke.
And by broke, I mean a one-bedroom apartment, preferably north of, what is that, Olympic? And I would like it if his credit score was above a 700.
Because that was a beautiful speech. And she's like, he needs a FICO of 825.
Well, the definition of broke, it changes. You know, the older you get.
Listen, let me tell you something. We had an episode a couple weeks ago called Battle of the Sexes, where we had Hollywood Hino and Spank Horton over here. And so, you know, we were just having a conversation. Blue asked me, Melissa, would you date a broke man? I was like, broke? Huh?
She what? Clenched when I asked you.
I saw that, actually. I cracked up laughing. I was in my bed looking at Instagram. I was like,
You mean broke?
One of those lazy laughs.
But it's just like, realistically, at the age of 43, why would I date a broke man?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Lisa Ray got into a lot of trouble for that because she went on some show where she was hooked up with some guy and the audience loved them, but in real life when they tried to date, she like broke up with him because she was like, I make way more than him. It's not going to work.
Right.
And she got a lot of pushback for saying that at her age, she didn't want to be with a guy who couldn't financially meet her.
Right.
Yeah. Is that wrong?
I don't think that that's wrong necessarily, because a lot of times in the long run, when a woman is the breadwinner in a relationship, a lot of men have difficulty with it. Their ego is not equipped to handle that, unless they're just a fucking gigolo, you know, and they're just
some
like,
guys love it.
They're just like laying in the lap of luxury, getting fanned, and they're like, oh yeah, baby, how is work? Yeah. You know, I've ordered some pizza, you know what I mean? Like I just haven't really met a lot of men that are okay. You know, psychologically, it just does something to them.
I worked on a project in 2015 with Toni Braxton, and she said something that I will never forget, because I questioned, like, you know, her relationship with her now ex-husband,
Carrie,
from Mint Condition. Yep.
Right.
And she said to him, you don't have to match me in my money, but you have to match me in my efforts.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and the way he showed up in the relationship was very powerful. And I remembered that. And later after that, a few years, I ended up getting engaged. And the guy I was engaged to did not have money, but he had ambition and he was goal oriented. And I was like, okay, he's matching me in my effort. He was showing up powerfully in the relationship. But unfortunately, it is that mental state where he was just like, I feel like you settled for me and I feel like you could do better. And I feel like, and I was just like, what are you doing?
At least he's right though. You realize that, right?
And he was right, which is why he's now the ex-fiancé.
So wait, are you part of the engaged but not married club?
Self-sabotage.
All three of us have been engaged but not married.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, so exciting. Do we clap? Do we cry? I don't know how to respond.
You know.
So exciting.
It is what it is, guys.
This is vodka, right?
Yeah, right. Look, I'm not drinking, but I'll pretend this water is vodka.
Oh, well, you know, listen,
To teach his own.
Exactly.
It all depends on how people show up, I feel. How you meet each other.
Exactly.
On your journey of personal growth.
I think what you guys are pointing out is that you can lie about your self-esteem everywhere, but in your love life.
Exactly. No.
I always tell you that I do not know my friends unless I've seen them in a relationship. Because I've had amazing friends, and then I see them in a relationship, I'm like, oh, you were trash this whole time, quietly. I had no idea you were garbage. Like, until I see you in love, I don't really know you. Because love, like, lifts up the rug and everything comes flying out of it.
It truly does. It's a mirror.
It really is.
You have to see yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, so Sky, I've been Insta-stalking you, so I know that you've been spending a lot of time in Vancouver on a new project.
That makes me feel so good. Instagram stalker.
I Insta-stalk all my friends.
Wait, but how many people, like, truly on the planet can say, like, my old crush just said I was Insta-stalking you.
Yeah.
You're taking this very well.
I was,
I love this.
I was totally Insta-stalking. Okay, so tell us about the project that you were working on in Vancouver. I mean, you looked amazing.
Thank you.
But you looked so happy.
I truly was. Mm-hmm. Because my engagement ended and a few projects that I had was fully supporting of the pain I was going through, which is why I love being an actor, because sometimes I can therapeutically heal myself through it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix opportunity came. And
I love that show.
It's like being at cheer camp with them. Mm-hmm. Like, they're very affectionate and very supportive and very funny, and they want to hang out. And they were just such a great space for me to heal in. All of the laughs and all of the posts of us being so connected is real. It's not us just being on for Netflix. Mm-hmm. And the journey of the character I play was extremely scary for me because it was a character role mm-hmm. where I had to become something completely different. I had to play a Haitian voodoo priestess.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
You know, and but it allowed me to just kind of like put my crown back on mm-hmm. after like what I went through earlier that year personally. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's been a wild ride. I have never had to deal with the Netflix global like effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like all of a sudden my like Instagram was just on fire
yeah.
and it was like 80,000 followers in less than 2 weeks. And like a girl who made a fan page.
Even yeah. sex tapes don't do that
shit.
Well. My gosh.
No, Sabrina came out January 24th. Mm-hmm. I had 22,000 followers and today I have like 116,000.
I need to get on a motherfucking Netflix
show.
That was
show. Netflix.
I'm here for the food.
It's this global effect. And they really, it has like a cult following.
It does.
And like a girl in Romania created a fan page for Sky Marshall and like another girl in Brazil. And I'm just like, what? So like, that's what really is like blowing my mind up, getting like mail from little girls in Pakistan and Madagascar, which I thought was just a cartoon. You know, it's just like, so that's been like really effective for me where I'm just like, this is intense. Like Netflix is like Fight Club. Like,
wow. Are you coming back to the show?
I already shot season 4 and I believe that'll probably drop, my guess, which don't quote me, might be July or October, but yeah, I'm in season 4 as well.
That's so cool.
We shot it back to back.
Season 3 just
yeah, we
came
shot
out
them
back
to
seconds
back.
Ago.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
You're part of Twilight. Oh my god, I love that.
I'm always so you know happy for my friends, especially like in the acting community, because it is rough out here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like the casting calls, the constant, you know, disappointment when you don't get the role, you know, trying to fight off the urge to internalize it, that your self-esteem takes a massive hit. Let me tell you something. Everyone looks at LA like it's manicured lawns and trim trees and all this glorious shit. No, this is the wild, wild west.
It's a war zone.
It is a war zone out in these streets. And so you and my girlfriend, Annie Alonza, who's on Chicago Fire now as a regular.
Wow.
I am like, I have been so overjoyed and like, you know, thrown my own like internal like celebrations for the two of you because I'm just so proud and so happy for them.
Yeah.
Because I know y'all are making motherfucking money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's real nice.
I know.
It's adorable. Especially when you have no overhead.
Oh,
children.
I could just see the zeros in your eyes. When she said that, your eyes literally turned into zeros on like a checkbook.
That's And it's thrilling because it's just like your vision board consistently just keeps changing. You know, the house that my Deserving Feelings match has gotten bigger. And like where I want to travel, I can literally now spin a globe and just be like, I'm jealous.
Nice.
It's just like the access when it comes to truly, really digesting that dreams are limitless. And I don't believe that happiness is attached to money, but I do believe that how you are raised around your relationship with money,
mm-hmm.
Will your dreams adjust the more you see that you are qualified to cover it
mm-hmm.
on your own mm-hmm. without a man or someone else doing it for you. It's like, wow, I actually can be limitless. I can do what I want. And that's what this industry has shown me because I didn't start acting until I was 28 years old. A lot of people are really shocked when they like look at my resume and they're like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I always like to tell other people that like want to get into the industry, especially if it's later in the game, don't even compare yourself to people that went to Yale or Juilliard. Mm-hmm. Your life experience can trump anything that they might learn in four walls.
Right.
And that's what I feel like I bring to a lot of my auditions and my roles is my life experience. You know, growing up in Chicago, living in Harlem, being active duty in the military during the Iraqi Freedom War, you know, working the medical industry, heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak after heartbreak from friends, female friends, as we all have experienced, and male relationships. Like, that's what you bring into the room.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you're authentic, you will get hired.
Yeah.
But it's not about just who you go study with.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to make it. So, you know, jump in the game whenever you're ready, but just don't quit. That's all I tell people.
I'm about to run to an audition right now for
As
something.
You should.
We're the new Pine Sol lady. Like, you just made me feel so... I have a serious question, though, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about this new money you're making.
Right.
And how limitless you feel. So this is a serious question. I mean, speaking on behalf of the Black community. Does that mean that you are now on autopay? because we all understand that you are nobody.
Oh my God, that's hysterical.
We know this. Like, I'm actually on auto pay now, and every month I'm scared. But I'm just
I am a little afraid. You know what? That was a big step for me when I allowed
auto pay
only with T-Mobile.
Wait, girl, no. Okay, I was about to clap.
With T-Mobile, I'm on auto pay. And with my Wi-Fi cable Spectrum, I'm on auto pay.
That's it.
I feel that's my safe space. But with rent, I just don't know. Y'all not gonna throw some extra little yard work or some shit. I need to see the bill. I need to know exactly.
When you come back on the show and I'm claiming it, you'll be on auto pay on everything.
Your mouth to God's ears.
My mouth to my own ears. I'm halfway on auto pay, just like you. Melissa, are you on auto pay? These are serious questions, guys.
Yeah, but I keep getting notifications in my email saying that it didn't go through.
What card is this?
It didn't go through.
I'm too controlling. I need to see it first.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. So I want to jump into some topics.
Let's go.
But before that, I just have one more question for you. Because when we were talking on Hollywood Unlocked, we discovered we have a love of travel. And you mentioned it just now.
I love travel as well.
So since she's going to be running, is the marathon still in Hawaii?
It's definitely Hawaii Labor Day weekend.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's why I've been eating so many salads. I'm so hungry.
So that's where we're going. We're going to take, I'm here for the food, on the road to Hawaii to support Blue when she goes and runs her marathon. It's a half marathon, right?
It's a half marathon because I want to live.
In Hawaii.
Good for you.
13 you're tripping miles. Because there is nothing but motherfucking hills in Hawaii.
I'll be the last one to cross. It'll be like a overnight party, like a summer party. You guys wear your pajamas. I think we see her. Is that a star or is that Blue?
I'm totally going to be there
in my
pajamas.
A little lime bike with you.
Look, whatever.
Little,
I'm going to finish it though, right?
That's
well done.
Gonna be we'll hilarious.
It really is going to be a comedy of errors. Yeah, that's fine.
We got you.
For
so,
you.
Since you got, you know, this funds rolling in and stuff like that, where is the next place that you plan on traveling?
You know, I just got back from doing 2 weeks in Tulum by myself.
That's my dream.
Yeah, you did. And didn't
Tulum is incredible by yourself.
But wait, you also just started a travel IG page, right?
Oh, I did. Yeah. So it's called BRB America.
There you go.
And you said Tulum, you were meant to be here.
Yeah.
Tulum's my vision board. I've been all over the world, but for some reason, Tulum is my vision board.
I can give you the 411 on where to stay, where to eat, where to connect
with
people.
Don't play with me, Sky.
The best shrimp tacos. Like, I mastered that little bohemian chic beach town. Like, there's nowhere in the place.
It's fantastic.
Now, the thing about Tulum is Tulum might be in Mexico, but it ain't Mexican. It's quite expensive, but I can definitely give you the wealthy experience on a budget.
Okay.
And that's what I like to do. And that's what I like to explore because I want to get more people of color, one, to get passports. And I want to encourage women of all nationalities and ethnicities to travel alone, go solo and get all of that conditioned fear out of why you need a man or your crew to go somewhere. Like
solo travel is empowering.
Oh my gosh. So I also have, a bunch of other different cities outside of America. It's a YouTube channel, BRB America. You're welcome to check it out. I edit my videos myself.
Nice. I am going to be DMing you. I'm not joking. So I need you to like look me in my eyes and like, you're going to respond.
Actually,
I'm
going to
hit Melissa
and
be like, Sky's ignoring me, Melissa.
No, you have to text me personally because my DMs is all Sabrina fans. There has not been a 5-minute break in 2 weeks.
Wow. Really?
I'm not kidding you. There hasn't been a break.
I'll be
in
like in the sea
weeks,
of Sabrina fans.
24/7.
Oh, okay, wow.
So
okay,
well, I will make sure that you guys have each other's information.
So I'll give you my
information.
Number.
Tulum, okay, so thank you so much. Because I was debating between Tulum and Amsterdam. Because I go to Amsterdam every other year.
Oh, you those are two completely different worlds.
But yeah, I'm like, Tulum feels like it's different. And it's closer, too.
Yeah, you got to do something new. So we just recently had a Galentine's Day episode, like I said, where we had my friends Rosa, Roxy, and Parker on the show. And we were talking a lot about, you know, relationships and dating like women do when we get around each other and stuff like that.
Yeah, we do.
And I was, I think the topic of like hoism came up.
Oh.
You know, it's at some point. So that I'm just going to use that to preface, you know, the
An
topic.
An asterisk. I am no longer talking about my hoe days on the show.
Why?
Because a lot of people that I thought that I had shrouded in mystery have been hitting me up like, yo, did you really just talk about me on your show?
But you didn't say their name.
They still know who they were.
But nobody else does.
Well, they have my phone number, Melissa. And
don't worry about it.
So a lot of people have hit me, and not just them, some friends have like put two and two together, but like, I didn't realize you slept with so-and-so, but that's I reckon. Okay. So yeah, no, it's not okay for me. So I'm going to fall back on sharing my host stories. Also, somebody mentioned, they were like, can someone vet these stories? Did Blue really do all this? I love that you don't believe it. Please go back to that. So yeah, nice. I'm a virgin moving forward.
Sweet.
And I did not have a whole phase, and I'm just going to renege on
perfect
all the narratives.
Never happened.
And you're just going to tell me how babies are made, Melissa.
No.
No, because seriously, I'm getting a lot of this. Heat. You know, I'm getting heat.
I rebuke this, okay?
I'm because so part much
of
heat.
Because part of what people love about I'm Here for the Food is our transparency.
Well, can I
and
be
how
opaque?
Candid we are. You cannot be opaque. I'm sorry. The only opaqueness I will accept in here is tights.
Tights, I felt
that's it.
Oh,
okay. Man. All right. So let's address something that, you know, just recently happened in social media.
Okay.
Amber Rose is back, you know, with a vengeance. She popped out a beautiful baby, and she has just recently gotten tattoos on her forehead.
Ooh. Justine, you have a great poker face.
Yeah. Let's. Do you call her Justine?
Yeah.
It's okay. It happens.
I call her Justine.
I'll be whoever
because
you want
Sky?
Me to be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always think about Justine Sky and then Sky's the Limit. Those are the two my two Sky things.
Okay, so your Sky's the Limit and Justine
and
Sky.
And Justine Sky has blonde hair right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I was like,
you were like, dude, you have blonde hair?
And I was like, no, that's the other Sky. And I was like,
so,
oh.
It's okay. I take it as a compliment. She's
but beautiful. I actually do think you should try blonde hair.
Okay.
I'm going to send you a picture after you respond about Tulum.
Copy that.
You see that? That's called blackmail.
See what you did there? She cleaned it up.
Okay, so recently something came across my timeline about Amber Rose. She is back in the news again. She's just popped out a beautiful baby. Yeah, we're talking about her a lot. She's got tattoos on her forehead.
What do they say, Melissa?
Her children's names. Bash slash?
Are you serious?
Slash bash? Something like that?
Is that really what it says on her forehead? Well, slash bash?
Those are her kids' names. She put her kids' names on her forehead.
I'm not going to judge a mother's need to pay homage to her children, so I'm just look at the wall.
So, this is what... She was just recently on Fox Soul. Shout out to everybody over at Fox Soul, James DeBose, Claudia Jordan.
I love Claudia.
But she was just recently on Keisha Cole's show, and she said this. I don't want this to sound corny or anything, but kind of after Kobe died, it made me reflect on my life. Which it did for a lot of people.
Right.
I don't want people to be like, oh, Kobe died and you went and got a tattoo, but it was kind of like that.
You know,
wait, one plus one is not seven. What just happened?
I'm trying to Kobe, draw the correlation between Kobe Bryant dying and tattooing
you
your face
bash
with your
you know what I
think? On
you
her
know,
forehead.
You know what I pulled from that was...
Work your magic, please.
See,
I want
to
hear this.
I'm about to do it.
I want to hear this.
This is the Haitian. This is the cauldron. Haitian.
Right.
Here we go.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
About to make all that make sense.
Okay.
I believe that, because she also mentions her father with cancer, right? Who mm-hmm. died of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Kobe's death triggered her grief of her father's death. And many times when people feel grief or haven't fully healed from grief, they do drastic things. That's the only thing that would make sense to me because it starts to trigger that you only live once. No, you know, no one's promised tomorrow thing.
So face that your kids'
so
names.
You start to do things that you wouldn't logically do. And if that's what, because it happens that way.
So you think she's been triggered by his death and... become aware of her mortality in a way.
Because she did connect it in the interview of Kobe and her father.
Okay.
And then it got triggered, and she is a mother, then gets
tattooed.
I
agree with
of her
all
sons.
Of that until the face tats of children whose names that you gave them, so you're not going to forget them. Like, yeah. I'm just so.
You know what? I've had a tattoo removed before, so she'll be fine.
It's
not on
her forehead.
Face.
If she's over with it, she can get it removed.
She's bald. Like, there's no bangs.
It can get removed.
Like, it'd be one thing if she had twists in her hair. She could just go like this.
I know.
But, like, it's literally.
I don't think she wants it removed. And I think we just have to honor the fact that that's what she's into.
Okay.
And there's no right way
this,
to.
It's not wrong. It's just
have
questions.
A human body.
Well, okay.
Yeah. And she gets to do what she wants to her human body. Body.
Let me.
Huh,
there's
you're
a reason.
Beautiful person.
She
I'm
is
trying
a beautiful
here.
Person.
No, I'm usually trying to be a beautiful person.
I really worked through that.
But the face tat, like, I really could feel you working through that. Thank you so much. The face tat is where she lost. I was cool with all of that until it was your kids slash and bash and mash on. That's where
so
she lost.
There's
me.
A reason why I brought this up because the fact, because most people are like, Right. You know, like over tattooing your, just putting a face tattoo on your forehead when you don't have bangs, you don't have an ability to hide it, and you're, you know, just why? It's just a very why kind of thing to do. Most of us are just like, just have question marks in our eyes.
Right.
I bring that up because I want to say something else that came across my timeline that Amber Rose tweeted at one point.
I'll hit it.
If 50 men call one woman a hoe, you'll believe it. But if 50 women call one man a rapist, you'll find it questionable. Let's really talk, think about this. And wow. So
that got dark quick.
So when somebody,
I want to go back to the face tats now. Oh my God.
So when somebody says, you know, when she's, what she's written here is absolute facts.
Yeah.
But what I thought when I read this, and then of course I did a deep dive into the comment section just to take the temperature and
Here you go in the comment section. You know, I'd be concerned about you when you do that.
Listen, it's not my comment section. When it's not my comment section, I can go right into it.
No,
when it's my comment section, that's a whole other ball of wax.
I think comment sections in general tend to be dark places.
Well, I just want to take the temperature to see if anybody's making sense in there.
True.
You know, because of course there's going to be, you know, fuckheads that just are saying stupid shit.
Fuckheads?
Right.
Yeah. That's the technical term for them. Yeah.
Fuckheads, you know. But then sometimes I want to see if anybody is, you know.
Human?
No, not even that. A critical thinker, you know.
Fair.
And unpacks the statement or just, you know, brings a thought-provoking kind of, opinion into the comment section. Because every once in a while, that does happen.
Right.
And so when I read this, and then I started to read the comments and how many people were dismissive of what she said because of who she is. It made me start thinking about the message and the messenger and how the message could be really profound.
Mm-hmm.
But if the messenger is somebody who takes Kobe's death as a reason to tattoo, you know, names on your face, are we meant to take her seriously? And is the message then wiped off the table?
What's that old saying? Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
No one's always right or always wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So even if it's Barack Obama, I'm going to fact check it. And even if it's Amber Rose, I'm still going to like see if there's a gem of wisdom in there. I think it's kind of dangerous to have people's archetypes or their titles dictate if we should listen to them because mm-hmm. everybody has a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, absolutely.
Everybody's always wrong.
Look what happened to Gail. We were all team Gail for R. Kelly. And then happened. You know, it's like no one's perfect.
No one's perfect.
Especially when you get in front of the camera, you know, sometimes you know, it just doesn't land the way you may have
seen it.
I was
looking at what happened with Gail and Snoop Dogg because I don't think Gail King's the only person who misspoke.
Yeah, both.
Yeah, that's my opinion. Like, the whole thing about Gail both. Is...
Wait, you guys
that's
are going...
A whole, hold on. That's a whole other conversation.
I definitely didn't... I wasn't trying to, like, dive into it deeply.
I got a problem with Snoop.
Because that's next.
Me and Snoop got beef, and anybody who has a problem with that,
that can happen.
Yeah.
Where you could be Team Amber because you agree with something, mm-hmm. and then she might do something completely different. But that's what makes, all of us human. We get to choose... It's like a la carte, you know? You choose what works for you in this moment or not, and then you move on.
And why do we need to always agree? Here's my thing. Number one, anybody who doesn't agree with that statement,
mm-hmm.
I personally think is being intellectually dishonest.
Right.
Because I know there's personal truth and there's universal truth.
Mm-hmm.
That is a hybrid of personal truth that's leaning towards universal. Mm-hmm. I think there's enough data, mm-hmm. forget feelings, that shows that like women get to be called sluts and slores and whores. Apparently slut and whore have a baby now.
Slore.
Yeah, slores.
Oh, yeah.
Just from like the optics of being sexually promiscuous, which by the way, for agency shouldn't be a bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
But men all the time, when they are accused, we tend to be scared of this narrative of the gold digger who's lying.
Mm-hmm.
And the narrative of the woman who might be lying is greater than the tidal wave of survivors and assault victims out there who go like unchecked. You know what I mean?
I
think it's almost a universal truth. So anybody who's disagreeing with that might just be a whole ass liar.
So I happen to
like a whole liar.
I happen to ask a guy about
what kind of guy though? They're not all created equal.
Young, 20s.
Good to know.
I read the statement that Amber Rose had made. They have 50 men. If 50 men call one woman a hoe, et cetera, et cetera. And I asked, you know, does that negate the truth of her statement?
Right.
And the first thing that he talked about was her hoeism. And so I thought. I said, well, what makes her a hoe? What is it that makes her a hoe? Mm-hmm. And I really thought, like, I really just I want to unpack that. And what it is everybody seems to have a certain, their own definition of what a hoe is. You know, so I was just like, why do you call her a hoe? Is it, you know, well, it's her antics. I was like, okay, so she parades around, you know, very scantily naked. But does that make her a hoe? I don't think so. It just makes her very comfortable with her body and an exhibitionist. Whether or not we want to look at it is a whole different conversation, but that doesn't necessarily make her a hoe. Not in my definition of it. Well, she slept with a ton of guys. But how do we know that? We're not in the bedroom with her. And she's, you know, come on Hollywood Unlocked and said, I'm a serial monogamous.
She is a serial monogamous.
She goes, and her relationships are lengthy. You know, we just happen to know all about them because of who the caliber of man that she dates is usually as high profile as she is. So if we're really going to take to task, like, the whole concept of hoe, what it means, I don't necessarily think she falls into the proper category. I just don't, you know?
To me, a hoe is a woman who appears to do what men do every day without getting a second glance. That's mm-hmm. what a hoe is to me.
Right.
If you're dating and having sex or appearing to date and have sex in the way that every man that we know does without even having a side glance, you're automatically a hoe. How dare you fuck like a man? How dare you date like a man? Mm-hmm. To me, that's a hoe.
That's not fair, though.
No, I really do.
Like a man, though? That's so general.
I have a bunch of male friends, she'll tell you, good dudes, like marriage-minded, ambitious, whatever, like the kind of men that most women want to slide into my DMs, they hook me up with your friend. And even the nicest of them dates and has sex in a way that all the women I know would be called a hoe for, but they're still good dudes. And nobody even like blinks
bats
at
an
it.
Eyelash.
Bats an eyelash.
Right, yeah.
So the way that most men, the way that most men have sex, half of that, if you even look like you're doing it, as a woman, you get called a hoe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And as a man, we don't even blink at it. We don't even think twice. Like, oh, yeah, of course he went through that phase. He's a dude.
He's a player.
He's a man. He's an attractive man. If you're an attractive man at that, they almost get nervous if you don't do it because then you might be gay. Then the homophobia comes in.
Where does the double standard come from about,
patriarchy?
Yeah. but dig deeper. Not just patriarchy, but is it because... Is it because that, you know, as it relates to our bodies, we're receivers, whereas they are givers, like from the, you know, like from a physicality standpoint, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Is that how hoism is kind of, you know, defined? Like if you are a woman and you receive a bunch of men into your body, that mm-hmm. means that you're a slut. You're
what
a
do
hoe.
You guys think about that? I'm curious.
Honestly, I don't even see it being that deep. I just think it's men are actually way more sensitive than women.
Bing, 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 bing. Bing.
They are very sensitive, mm-hmm. and they don't want to know a woman that's been with their friend or been with a bunch of. They don't want to allow themselves to get that close if they think they can be easily replaced. They have a lot of fears around us.
I agree.
And we trigger a lot of things within a man's heart as well. And I do believe that most men's intentions are good, but they overthink a lot when it comes to who have you been with? Why is she wearing that? Why are you posting that kind of picture? And then next thing you know, it will create this image of what we now know as a hoe.
So fragile masculinity, you think, is behind...
So
Slut
many
shaming.
Times a lot of women have to become damn near a handmaid to like make them feel very safe and secure. This is not all men, of right. course, but all men aren't running around calling women hoes either. Mm-hmm. The men that do that, that actually use those words, are extremely insecure
mm-hmm.
and extremely
but their friends
sensitive.
Let them do it though. Here's
and
my
their
thing.
Friends are the same way. They're very and they're the ones See? That also have to like be big when it comes to like the labels and the this and have to show off and because they're extremely insecure.
We
I know some other guys though
so
who let
they
their friends
degrade
do that,
a woman to make themselves feel bigger.
In
but
our
but the gentleman, mm-hmm. that's a completely different
category
line of men that I want to always make sure we respect, honor, and keep, because I will never believe that they're all men, that most yeah. men are all men or many men, because then we're fucked.
Yeah.
As women, we're fucked if we believe that. And but I refuse to believe that narrative.
I guess my James Baldwin moment in that, because you know, James Baldwin believes, if I love you, I must hold you accountable. Mm-hmm. Just because a guy's a good guy doesn't mean he can't be complicit. And so I think it's dangerous to act like it's black and white, where there's gentlemen and then there's insecure guys. What about the more normal human, we keep on talking about being mm-hmm. human guy in the middle, who's a good guy, but when his boys do call women hoes, he doesn't speak up.
Right.
That's actually, to me, the most popular archetype of good men who don't speak up. And well, I feel like, because I love good men, I'm now holding them accountable. Like, hey, you're complicit now. You can still be a good dude, but if you don't speak up when people are calling girls hoes, you're complicit. Like, eat that.
But so are we.
We're the women in the club saying the lyrics to.
I already hold us accountable, so that's easy.
As soon as you like with a, you meet a girl. If you once you get cool enough, you know you really cool. If we can call each other bitch and hoe, that's when you know that's really your girl. If you could do that,
but then the application doesn't matter though.
We have also allowed the words to be desensitized, because we will call each other that, and we will be up in beautiful women's comments calling them the same thing.
Right.
So it's like we are giving it, I feel like the male gender, we're giving them permission, because we do it to each other as well.
Ooh,
it's not just like us in a corner like, oh my God, would these boys stop calling us hoes?
I don't, like, that I don't agree with, because Ta-Nehisi Coates actually has a beautiful video that says the application matters. Mm-hmm. Him calling his wife honey is different than a complete stranger calling his wife honey. Mm-hmm. There are words, application matters, and I think it's dangerous to oversimplify that a word means the same thing across the board. Words actually evolve based on application and relationship. For sure. So what I call my girlfriend, there's a lot of things I call you that I wouldn't call my man. There's a lot of things I call my man that I wouldn't call my girlfriend. And it's always dangerous when you're looking at someone of privilege and then holding people who are not of privilege accountable to the same regard, because they don't have the same privilege. Men and women in a patriarchal society, we're not held to the same regard. Me calling you a bitch, no matter how much I say it, is not going to be the same as a rapper calling you a bitch. A man has 10 times more horsepower behind him calling you a bitch than I do. So it's kind of unfair to compare, because they don't hold the same weight, and it's a very different relationship. If I call you a bitch as a friend, it's very different than a video vixen being called a bitch by a rapper on set. Mm-hmm. The power dynamics, the patriarchy, all these things that are baked in based on gender and socioeconomic whatever, they factor in. So it's really dangerous when we say, well, if we say it, they should say it. That's the same argument that white folks have with the N-word.
Not that they should
say it. It's not the same. We're not giving permission. I can call you a bitch all day. No man in my life can call me a bitch.
It's not about should say it. Just as far as the sensitivity around it, go in Amber's comments.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not just men calling her hoe. If it's a photo like this, right?
Right.
It's not just men calling her a hoe, right? Right. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, like, maybe I should have reworded.
Because permission is a very dangerous word.
Permission is not. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's been desensitized.
True.
Is what I'm saying.
True.
So
because of how much we throw it around, and really it's because of social media, because we're all journalists now. We all have an opinion.
Oh, child, don't get me started on that.
It's the same. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just.
Yeah.
I agree with everybody's a journalist. Like, I'm an actual journalist.
Everyone has an opinion. Really? And when it comes to specifically men calling women sluts and hoes.
Right.
I am just saying, when we see a woman or there's an appearance of that as well, women are doing the same thing to Amber. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Amber probably gets it more from women than men.
Yeah, we talk
about that all the time. It's called internalized misogyny. It's still misogyny, though.
Yeah.
So misogyny is when anybody who benefits from patriarchy wants to uphold it.
Right.
And so men, obviously, because they're men, they're going to benefit from patriarchy. Even good guys have to deal with the misogynist within, right? The same way all good white people who are not racist still have to deal with racism, because it's baked into how they're socialized. Internalized misogyny, it's always men and pick-me's who subscribe to it. So women who feel like they're benefiting from misogyny are going to be even more vicious towards women who are rebel rousers and who are trying to shake up the status quo.
For sure.
So statistically speaking, women are the biggest aggressors towards women, but they're still doing it in servitude to patriarchy. They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it to look good to the guys.
Right.
They're doing it because they want to be the special chick who calls out the hoes. Like,
right.
So even that's
like
about
one of the boys.
So even that's patriarchy though. Even that's not about womanhood. So I'm like, everything that we're doing against women is for men. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful when we attack women who are slaves to that same mentality, because they're not even serving themselves.
Right.
They're serving the dudes still.
You know what I love is the fact that this kind of conversation can even take place. I was just recently in New Orleans at Dillard University. Nice. Yeah, the HBCU. Thank
you. Stay busy on the weekends, Melissa.
I mean, you know, I'm trying to turn water into wine over here, motherfuckers.
And then the motherfuckers comes out.
Shout out to Dr. Kimbrough and the staff at Dillard University.
Shout out to Dr.
and all of the student body. It was really fantastic. You know, they organized the lunch where I could sit with some of the girls and just, you know, give some career advice and just, you know, just kind of offer mentoring, you know. And then they, I guess it was a mass communications class that I was participating in where they watched the Vixen documentary. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it.
I've seen it.
I'm not sure. Mm. Probably
I want to see it again, though. It's been so long.
It's so.
And
it's,
now that I know you, I feel like it would taste different.
No. It's the one that came out just like a couple of years ago on BET.
Yeah. But I'm okay. Saying I want to see it again, with a different perspective. Now.
It is hands down the best documentary that has been done on the video modeling age era and music, not just music videos, but also hip hop, just in its entirety. It's the most informative, and it was the first time that men ever took up for us and had our back. It was the first time ever. Wow. And so when we watched the documentary and the students said, you know, they started asking me questions about, you know, my mental health during times where things got really bad, you know, in terms of the way people regarded video models as hoes, the Superheads book, you know, game song, et cetera, et cetera. So they started talking to me about mental health. They started talking about, you know, sexual abuse, sexual harassment on set and stuff like that. And I was just looking at them like I said, you know what I just realized at this very moment in time is that you are the next generation. I am at least 20 years older than the majority of the girls in that room. Mm-hmm. And I said, and at this moment, I'm really realizing that not only are you the next generation, but I'm also realizing what my contribution was to you even being able to have the conversation you're having at this moment. I was blown away by the fact that they didn't even conceptualize this, that conversation didn't exist. You could, mental health, what?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sexual abuse, sexual harassment on a video set? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't just that it was tolerated, it was almost expected.
Mm-hmm.
And if you dared have a problem with it as a woman, well, what are you doing here? You're here for our entertainment and our enjoyment and for our use. And that's it. So to even try to be a woman of, you know, dignity and composure and poise and treat this like a job and expect to be treated with respect was like, respect? What is that? Where can you buy that? You know what I mean? And I thought to myself about the women that came before me and how hard they worked to get me where I was.
Right.
You know, I'm just listening to the way we're talking right now. And it's a good time. It's a great time for women because it's a time for us to acknowledge our power. We're really attempting to drive the car now. We're pushing these motherfuckers out the driver's seat. You can sit in the passenger seat if you want, but my foot's on the gas and my hand's on the wheel. And it's our time. And that was what I wanted to leave all the women with in the room. Own your power because you are a powerful woman. Don't ever let anybody tell you differently. And I'm here to tell you what I see in all of you. Because we, like, in 20s, we really suffer from, like, you know, self-esteem that can just knocked over.
Trash.
You know, like, yeah, knocked over with like a small gust of wind. Yeah. And I just wanted to kind of leave them with that notion that keep the conversation going. Hashtag me too. Hashtag time's up. Mental health awareness, like all of these conversations I thought were just, you know, I'm so happy for them. And I wish they existed in my time, you know? And it just, the Amber Rose reading what she'd written and how she's consistently treated. And I'm not saying this, I'm not wearing a cape for Amber Rose, but I like to be a critical thinker when it comes to topics like this, you know, acknowledge both sides of the spectrum. You know?
Yeah. And I like that we're having this conversation using Amber Rose, because one thing that I you know, like, I don't know if you told Sky before, but I'm like an emotional intelligence coach. And one of the things that I'm really passionate about is before you confront any other, you have to confront yourselves.
Right.
And so part of that I think is very much missing in this conversation about women's empowerment that just popped up right now is women can't just be checking men. They have to be checking their own biases, right?
Yeah.
Because absolutely. In the same way that anti-blackness doesn't just affect white people, black people ingest anti-blackness and then accidentally spew it out against other black people.
Yeah.
Women like ingest misogyny and judgment against other women that they think is critical thought, that they think is like okay, and don't realize the misogynist living within.
Yeah.
And so I think if we're going to have a really honest and rigorous and healthy Me Too Time's Up movement, we have to call out women who are thinking really limited and unintentionally sexist things about other women because it's so ingrained in us that we have to deprogram ourselves.
Yeah. Right. And
women who think that your delivery is like hard. Is A plus of what so I was hard. Trying to wrap my mind around. Like you said it exactly what like I was trying to like
articulate.
Yeah, articulate is a word.
Yeah, that was my thing. It was just like
we're all problematic. It's like I'm problematic, guys. I know that's shocking, but we're all problematic.
Like, in my head, it's just I can't go to like an Amber Rose picture and then go through the comments and be like, "Men, stop calling women hoes," but ladies. We get what you meant. Like,
right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's hard for me to try to separate that because I'm like, no, all of you guys stop.
There's definitely been times where I've had to check myself on like an instant thought.
Like a fuck that bitch moment.
Yeah, exactly. Like, fuck that bitch moment. I'm like, whoa, hold up, Melissa.
Who said she was a bitch?
Exactly. Yeah. Like, what makes her a bitch?
Oh
what
did like in Lizzie's comments. It breaks my heart what I see some of these ladies say.
I can imagine.
And I'm just, Lizzie.
Lizzie who?
Oh, did I say her name wrong?
Wait, no, hey, help me.
Lizzo.
Lizzo!
Oh my gosh.
I immediately knew who she meant.
Sorry,
I was trying to send you an O through my eyes.
I know, my brain. It's been a day.
Lizzo, sorry.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other
And I just love what she represents of just...
That's a whole other
And that's a great way of putting what she represents.
Yeah,
I love what she represents.
There's symbols and there's people, right?
Yeah.
And you can uphold a symbol while still holding the person accountable.
Right. Yeah.
And that's always a fun conversation.
Exactly. So because I wanted to continue.
Look, I called you just so you can call her Lizzie. Okay. Look, okay. We're the shits in this episode. Okay. We're dealing with it.
But I wanted to continue the conversation of how women perpetuate misogyny and just like uphold patriarchy with the whole Gail situation. Cause you wrote a whole article.
I sure did. And you all owe me an apology. Sorry. Vindicated because I wrote a whole article about Gail.
Yes.
That said, first of all, a lot of y'all think you're journalists and get paid to do other things. Stick to your day jobs because a lot of what people don't understand is journalistic integrity.
Yeah.
There are questions that you have to ask based on public sentiment and what's a hot topic.
Right.
Not based on personal feelings. So that's the first thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
The public made Kobe's legacy a conversation for a full week before Gail ever sat down.
Right.
And as a journalist, it's actually journalistically irresponsible not to talk about the pink elephant in the room.
Right.
Your actual job is to talk about pink elephants in the
room.
Yes. The second thing is we have to be really careful about assuming agenda. Ugh, that's such a hotep Twitter word.
Mm-hmm.
Agendas and intentions. A lot of people made an assumption about Gail's relationship with Kobe that actually is factually inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
Factually. Like, forget, my spidey sense told me this is what she was thinking late at night when she... That's an assumption. It's not a fact.
Right.
So be careful speaking about your assumptions about other people's intentions as facts. And number three, it is completely impossible to have a journalism degree, understand the nuance of journalism, for some reason still think that Gail doing her job was a bad thing, and disagree with her without being a misogynist, vitriolic pig.
Right.
So even if you don't agree with her doing her job... The choice to be misogynistic, sexist, send her death threats.
Yeah.
All that was completely unnecessary.
Okay.
It's possible to disagree without dragging. And so there's a 0% excuse for what Snoop Dogg did. 0%.
Okay. So
0%. Like, there's no room of error for me. He could have disagreed with her all day long, but what he said to her was messed up.
Okay. Yeah. So Snoop Dogg has apologized, which nobody saw coming.
I did.
You did?
Because here's the
Why?
Thing. What Snoop Dogg did doesn't age well, right? I'm always thinking about being on the right side of history.
Mm-hmm.
And I always say to you guys...
You are. What? But Snoop Dogg...
I immediately knew he was going to apologize. But the minute he said it, do you know why? Because whenever we watch those old videos of Eyes on the Prize, you know, did you guys do that? Because I went to school in Boston. Mm-mm. Those like every Black History Month, we'd watch those black and white civil rights.
Okay,
keep
yes.
your eyes yes. on the prize. Yes. We learned about Harriet Tubman and all mm-hmm. them. And whenever you watch that, the first thing that happens whenever the lights go back on from classes, they're like, how could all those angry white people say all those nasty things about black people? They're human beings. That's messed up. Literally, the whole angry mob on Twitter and social media that dragged Gayle King within an inch of her life, all the justifications that you made for dragging a woman for just doing her job in a way you didn't like are the exact same justifications that historically have been made when white people drag like black kids going to school and desegregating. Mm-hmm. It's a mob mentality of one person gets mad and upset. It becomes really popular to get mad and upset. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly you all rob somebody of their humanity and say things that you wouldn't say to your own mother, mm-hmm. right? And so that same mob mentality that we don't understand with like old racists, when we look at those black and white pictures mm-hmm. of people screaming at little black girls going into school. Mm-hmm. You all did that this week. Mm-hmm. You all did that. And it doesn't ever age well historically. So historically, whenever an angry mob does that, you always have to end up apologizing.
Right.
It doesn't age for well. Sure. So I immediately knew he was going to have to apologize because that shit doesn't age well.
I did not see it coming.
I did.
I didn't. No, only because Snoop is basically, you know, solidified as iconic status, especially to men. Mm-hmm. They hold him in the highest regard. It is, it's frightening to actually see in person.
He's a fun dude. Dude,
he's cool as hell, but he is not above reprimand.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And so he says that he had a conversation with his mother, and his mother said, baby, two wrongs don't make a right. And so that is what was the provocation for him to apologize and make, you know, deliver a public mea culpa to
Gayle.
I don't believe that.
I have a conspiracy theory. You want to hear it?
What, Susan, the Illuminati?
No, Susan Rice, who, look her up. Mm-hmm. She's a big deal publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Susan Rice came for his head.
Susan Rice is a public figure who, forget like Bloods and Crips, she has the government.
Yeah, yes.
Okay. She has.
Wasn't she like the former director of the NSA?
Yes. Yeah. She has, like, if for those of you who watch Scandal, like, what mm-hmm. is it, the B613?
Yeah.
Susan Rice runs B613 in like real life, right? Yes. So when Susan Rice says, yo, Snoop Dogg, I need you to shut the fuck up about Gayle King, because uh-huh. you could have disagreed with her without being disrespectful,
yeah.
and she has a whole army behind you, I think that scared the crap out of him. And also, yeah. black journalists like me who love Snoop Dogg mm-hmm. and who are constantly writing. I love, like, me and Snoop took a picture together at BeautyCon 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. We are the ones who are keeping him relevant.
Right.
We're the ones who write, oh, Uncle Snoop, and make those memes and gifs about him. We all, like, literally as a group were like, nah. Ta-Nehisi Coates, Mark Lamont Hill, mm-hmm. every single black journalist who I respect, including myself, mm-hmm. were like, dude, you could have disagreed without doing that. Because here's the thing that gets me mad. Kobe spent 20 years proving that he was not a misogynist pig, mm-hmm. proving that he was not this stereotype calling women bitches and hoes. And now you're literally desecrating his memory by doing that in his name.
Right.
The irony of saying I'm mad at Gayle for disrespecting Kobe's legacy when your very actions are disrespecting the man that he wanted us to not think he was the whole time that he was alive. The irony is kind of gripping. Kobe right. would not want you calling a grown woman a dog-faced bitch in his honor.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant would not want that 20 years after proving that he was better than that.
No, you're right.
So I'm sorry, no. Snoop, you were dead ass wrong. There's no excuse. Don't at me, because I've been cussing you guys out in the comment section. I did go in my comment section.
I saw for a week.
So, like, the facts are not on your side, guys. I'm sorry.
One thing that I was thinking to myself is, would Gayle King have received such an onslaught of vitriolic hatred if she didn't have such a close proximity to Oprah right now?
No.
Because
Sky,
Oprah,
what's your opinion?
Because Oprah is basically, you know, everybody's like, Oprah's not for us. She's against us. She's trying to take down every black man with the MJ documentary and the Russell Simmons documentary.
Right.
And now, you know, so I was thinking that to myself, that I don't think that Gayle King, who we had just held up on our shoulders and threw a fucking ticker tape parade
for doing the exact same thing, by the way.
Kelly's interview.
It was the exact same thing, by the way.
Literally, it was like a month, 2 months later, she asks this question about Kobe to Lisa Leslie. And I would invite everybody to watch the interview in its entirety, just for contextual, like,
and not a clip
purposes.
That you saw for 30 seconds,
exactly.
guys.
It's
Y'all
important.
Talking real crazy
it's
on
important.
30 seconds.
Exactly. So I just thought it was really interesting. Did she receive the lion's share of her criticism because of her close proximity to Oprah, who everybody seems to be really pissed off about at this point?
It is, guys.
You know what?
I mean, Bill Cosby's tweeting from jail.
First of all,
there's social media in jail.
First of all, y'all should have known you were on the wrong side when you and Bill Cosby were arguing for the same thing. I should have told you picked the wrong team.
Yeah. No, you know what? I think we all thought of it even the day after, sadly, he died. Like, mm-hmm. I think we all thought, mm-hmm. who's going to say it first?
And it was a white feminist.
Right?
It was a bunch of angry white feminists.
It was kind of like, who's going to say it first?
Yeah.
That could potentially trigger us.
Right.
If it's the loud white woman who keeps going, like, okay, girl, we've been tired of her. I'm not even going to give her any clout by saying her name. Like, we've been telling, girl, shut up. It's just kind of like, and like, each day that went by that I was on social media, I was like, oh my gosh, we're doing great.
Yeah.
And I think we all as a community got excited about everyone
rallying
just
together,
honoring Kobe and respecting Vanessa and the family and all of the other deceased family members. And I think we all of a sudden we put our guard down, and then suddenly Gail's interview popped up.
Mm-hmm.
I think
there's a clip of Gail's interview, which is different.
A clip for sure. Yeah. I think we all thought like, okay, good. No, everybody knows not to say shit.
Shut up and get in the car.
We still waiting to hear from Vanessa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we all knew it was going to come out, but like, let it breathe a little bit, like a bottle of wine. Let it just breathe a little bit before y'all do your jobs. We get it. You have a job to do, but there should be some like honorary time frame, like some grace period before we start doing that again. So we knew it was going to come. I think it just came too soon.
Yeah.
And I'm not mad at Gail for doing her job. I just thought that it was a very disrespectful time of doing it, because Vanessa had just shared mm-hmm. her words, like, in, and she has adult daughters and like social media still on grieving. I think that Lisa was not the right person to ask
that too,
because mm-hmm. she knew the relationship between Lisa and Kobe.
And the timing.
I think the timing and the conversation. Like, if Gail was gonna have a conversation with your colleagues at your tables that you do, their round tables that they have. If you're gonna bring that
it's
up,
a, but it's
like talking somebody it's, personal.
It's a both. It's a,
but inside. It's already a hot topic though. That ship has sailed.
That's the thing.
The ship has already sailed.
Saying, if you're gonna do it. I don't think it needs to be talked about.
Yeah,
it's old news. So, we've already talked about it. It's
no,
been
it was current. That's the biggest fallacy is
what part?
When you look up when Kobe died, literally within 24 hours, his sexual assault case was like the number two trending thing in the country for 2 weeks straight.
Yes.
So you're literally asking her not to do her job. You cannot have a trending story for 2 weeks.
But
that you're
to
annoying.
Lisa, though, I'm saying have it with another brown
well,
table.
Here's the thing.
Right? I just don't
the
feel
argument
like
gets more nuanced the more facts come out. First, it shouldn't happen at all. Then it shouldn't happen with Lisa. Here's the thing. It's happening with or without Gail. Like, it was happening with or without her.
I think that I didn't see it on my social media.
Exactly.
And I follow a lot of black feeds. And
but
we're the ones that
she doesn't work on BET. She works on CBS. In the white America, in the rest of America, it was actually a hot topic.
Yeah.
And that's our problem, right? We are in a black bubble asking women who's working on a global, like a network that speaks to everyone, to ignore a story that's huge with everyone just because the black bubble doesn't like it.
I think,
and
no,
that's
but
not
the
her
black,
job.
It's not even so much about that. The black bubble, we are very loud. Even though we're only 13% of the population,
we are
the
loud.
Ones that
black
are going to do the hashtag Oscar So White and shit's going to get changed.
Yes.
Because of black Twitter and Instagram. That is why I'm hired so much in Hollywood today. That's why the diversity door swung open. So even though we are a very small population, we have the loudest voice in this country.
It's
as
not
far
about
as
voice,
getting
it's
things,
about being a story.
Far,
it's already a story,
as far
though.
As getting certain things done.
Right.
And sadly, that voice attacked Gail in such an inappropriate way.
Very inappropriate.
And that was a very loud voice.
But we have to be careful saying it's old, though. It wasn't old. That's factual. It wasn't old.
From me looking at, from me watching everything that transpired, knowing you were writing your piece, seeing what Mark Lamont Hill, seeing the uproar and everything like that, I recognize that as a journalist working for CBS, the fact that it was trending,
hugely trending.
It did have to be asked.
It had to
it
be
had
asked.
To be,
sure.
It did have to get brought up. I think that certain people that think like me, who can understand, it had to get brought up. It had to be addressed. And is Lisa Leslie the person to ask? She could be. She could be. She was.
If
she,
I die,
so hold on, wait,
and you
wait,
talk
wait.
About me
so
crazy,
she,
I want one of my closest friends
so she,
to speak
and,
on my behalf.
Exactly. She was like one of his best friends. So all of this falls in line with, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. I think that my problem with Gail is the wording that she chose, number one. And number two, she made one tiny little statement that was like, you know, kind of bookended inside of what she was talking to Lisa about.
The clip, inside the clip.
Inside of that clip. Mm-hmm. But this one is, there really wasn't any justification for this kind of thing. It was when she said, when Lisa was saying that she never saw anything like that. What I believe Lisa was saying was she was saying, Kobe did not have predatory tendencies.
I agree.
And I was around the man so much that I would have seen something. I would have seen a hint of it. There was nothing. And then Gail offered, this was opinion, but you wouldn't have seen it, Lisa. That right there is where she fucked up.
So guys.
In my opinion.
So in my non-opinion, so here's the thing. I'm going to say one thing. Number one, I went viral. A million people in 3 days read an article I wrote, what I've learned about watching black men mourn Kobe Bryant. Mm-hmm. I literally had 700 men, literally, and I read all the letters, crying to me saying, this is the most beautiful black male affirming thing I've read in my entire life, right?
Yeah. And then next week you got dragged by your edges.
So they tried. My edges are still intact. And so like, because I'm an actual journalist, I don't just like type for fun on the Insta board, right? So like I had all these black men saying, thank you, thank you, thank you for affirming me. Mm-hmm. I've never seen an article where I felt so seen in my moment of grief, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had women hitting me up saying, thank you for giving me something to give to my husband who's been crying for 3 days and I don't know what to say to him.
Yeah.
I just gave him your article.
Right.
So I am a Kobe fan. Mm-hmm. I am a Kobe fan. I'm not a black woman who has a vendetta against Kobe. I'm not a social justice warrior, although I have nothing against social justice warrior, who is always going to be speaking from a place of pain. But I'm also a journalist, right? It's possible to love black men and mm-hmm. love Kobe Bryant, but still understand what my job means. Mm-hmm. And the first thing they tell you when you get trained on sexual assault mm-hmm. is to not say because I didn't see it happen doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Right.
So that question mm-hmm. is actually 101 of what the next question should be. Mm-hmm. Journalistically speaking, not about Kobe.
Right.
When R. Kelly was literally being accused and those girls were like, well, he didn't abuse us. They were like, but just because he didn't abuse you didn't mean he didn't abuse anybody mm-hmm. else. When the whole thing happened with MJ, Macaulay Culkin, just because he didn't abuse you didn't mean. The first thing they tell you when you're talking to someone about sexual assault is to push back and tell them, just because it didn't happen to you doesn't mean it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So from a non-emotional, I understand why emotional you feel that way. But from a non-emotional standpoint, that actually was the next logical question. Mm-hmm. And so here's the thing. You guys keep conflating feelings, very raw and valid feelings, mm-hmm. for factually what objectively was the next obvious question. And so you guys can be heard about the tone all you want, but factually speaking, I can't honestly say, this is why lawyers have such a hard time. There are things that lawyers ask that make perfect sense lawfully, but everybody in the courtroom thinks it's fucked up. Mm-hmm. But they're literally doing a great job.
Right.
And I think that we have to be careful conflating our assumptions about her opinions with actual regular ass fucking journalism.
Yeah.
And so for me, I think, and this is the thing that makes me sad, Gail King actually loved Kobe Bryant.
Yeah.
Gail King, so you guys are making up a whole story about her that's not even true in real life. Gail King and Kobe Bryant actually had a beautiful relationship. Gail King is actually closer to Kobe Bryant than half of you cussing her out on his behalf. And so the irony of that you guys are cussing her out for doing her job about her friend that she's trying to do well while it's still her friend. You guys have no grace a lot of times when it comes to black female journalists. And that is not opinion. There's a study that I posted in my article. I hope that we can share it.
Yes.
The study says the number one maligned group on social media is black women. Mm-hmm. And of black women, the number one maligned subgroup of that is black female journalists. The black women who hold you accountable, even when your feelings are hurt, you guys drive them the most.
Okay.
And it broke my heart. So, it fucking broke my heart.
So what we're going to do is we're going to share the link in.
Please, it's a whole study. Not opinions.
Yeah.
I like data.
We're going to share the link within the episode description. We're also going to share a study that I found that supported the ratio that I was discussing in the last episode about the disparity of available black men to available black women.
Amen. Ooh, child.
That ratio is fucking in 2009.
Sky, you're invited to our speed dating episode.
In 2009.
A speed dating episode.
Yeah, speed dating.
In 2009, it was one black man, available black man to 24. In 2009. So what do you think that statistic is now? It's Melissa, about 1 to 30.
So you got to spread the love then. You got to spread the love.
Spread it out.
You don't have to limit yourself to just a black man.
Listen, we're going
to
talk about...
Like, all my relationships have been black men because I'm fully supportive. But I date majority...
We can't go there right now.
Okay.
We don't I'll have save the time.
Oh, man. Can you come back?
Sky is going to come back.
I want Sky to come back.
No, wait, wait. We're going. Sky is going to come back.
Look, Sky, do you want to come back? Because we're pew pew around
Sky's
here.
Sky's coming back. Mel okay. Knows. Sky's coming back. You're coming back. I'm coming back. Y'all are coming back. Everybody's coming back. Okay. Thank you for tuning in to I'm Here for the Food. Check us out on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, iHeart. I gotta remember who all pays the bills and shit like that.
Instagrams.
The Instagrams.
Apple.
Yeah, exactly. Twitter, all the whole nine.
And please fact check, guys. Facts matter.
Fact check.
Yeah, going to
stay
the comments.
Stay in your lane. Don't be a journalist.
Going to the
comments. And we love Kobe, guys.
We all love Kobe.
We all love Kobe, so don't even talk crazy to us. We love Kobe.
Go into the comments section. Let us know what you think about the episode. Let's keep the conversation going because I think that this is going to be something that continues to be discussed. Kobe's memorial service is going to be held in L.A., on February 24th, I believe.
224.
Yeah, 224, which is like a couple Mondays from now. And it's going to be Staples Center, I believe.
Yeah.
It's sold out.
I'm going to cry.
Yeah, it's going to be insane. So the conversation will continue, and we just want to do it in like a happy, you know, in a healthy and respectful environment, which is our comment section. So until then, we will see you guys later. Take care for now.
Later. Ooh.
If you like our show and the content we're featuring, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening to us. iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, YouTube, and just like your Uber driver asks, leave us a 5-star rating. Also, please leave us a review about your favorite part of the show or your number one takeaway from the episode. We read all the reviews, and this will only help us curate the content that you want to see and hear. Thanks, guys.